Basil Safi and Jim Williams were not able to be here, and would have been nice if they could have been. And Johns Hopkins institutions. When we look at it, we have first the university, and it has several different components that make up the university. Probably the part that you all have heard the most about is the whole medical complex that starts out with our hospital and healthcare systems and then our School of Public Health. And we also have the Applied Physics Lab, which is part of it, and the NHTSA School of Advanced International Studies with a campus both in Italy and in downtown DC. We also have the Peabody Institute, which is a school of music. At Hopkins, there is an overarching office that takes care of, it's called the Critical Event Preparedness and Response, or CPAR, and it has the overall responsibility for being prepared and what we would do in a disaster. In 2005, CPAR started looking at what would we do if there was a pandemic. And in January 2006, they decided that they would form a set of committees, and so they ranged from committees on HR and supplies and inpatient and outpatient and ethics, and I happened to have been asked to lead the one on education and communication. As we went along, we started working with the Bloomberg School of Public Health, their Center for Communication Programs, and that's the work that I'm going to be talking about. The project was really to set up to understand the Hopkins community so that we could then develop a communication plan that would help prepare and persuade the community to be prepared for a pandemic. And having a world where we would really persuade people to be prepared in this environment, we thought was very important. That it is important for all big institutions to be prepared. So we set out to plan a strategy of how we would find out about the individuals and how prepared they were for a disaster. What were people's concerns? What did people know about the institution and preparedness? And what should the institution be doing? So those were kind of our goals of what we wanted to accomplish in this project of really being prepared. In addition, we conducted a thorough investigation of the literature and went out and found literature and studied that of what was happening at 63 different institutions. But in our work, we decided that we must go out and find out what was going on the variety of campuses. So we conducted 27 focus groups between February and April of 2007 on our 7 different campuses, and 17 of them were from staff, so at the various campuses, 9 groups of students, and that included both international students and students from the United States, and we had 1 group of faculty. We had 287 people contributed to this investigation with the age span, and 70% of them were female and 30% were male. And we reported those findings to our CPAR office. And based on those findings, we developed our communication strategy. So what were the findings? Well, first the questions that we asked, and we asked those uniformed again to all 27 focus groups. Are you concerned about the pandemic influenza? What actions have you really taken to be prepared? What do you think Hopkins could be doing? And what suggestions do you have? And how do you expect to get the information so we know what to do in creating a communication plan? And what messages would you really like to send to those who are in charge? So the results were that there was the level of concern we found interesting, and the majority said that they were somewhat concerned. 16 said that they were very concerned, and about a third said that they were not concerned at all. And it's interesting to think that as we've gone another year without any influenza, these results might actually be different today than they were then, that we might have even more people not concerned about it. Students and faculty were generally unconcerned because they were unaware that they even needed to be concerned about this. And the most common reason was that they didn't have any knowledge about what was going on. So we asked questions about how prepared do you think Hopkins is? And so most had some vague kind of thing that Johns Hopkins must be prepared because it's Johns Hopkins. And they thought it depended on where the focus group was. They might know of some specific actions that were going on, some in infection control, some in isolation areas, some in stockpiling, and some in research in PAMFLU. But a quarter of the people that were in the focus groups didn't think that Hopkins would be prepared at all, which we found interesting. So there were some major concerns, and one was in leadership. They wanted to know who was going to take charge. Who would I turn to get really valid information? Is there a plan? And how would I find out about it if there is a plan? They were really concerned about, will I get paid if I can't work? So it comes down to the really personal kind of area of what's going to happen to me. And am I expected to come to work? Then it was nice to see this greater kind of concern about the greater Baltimore community, what's going to happen in there and what would Hopkins do there. And there was great concern about what would happen about the international students. In our graduate programs, about a third of the student body are international students. But we have a campus in China and we have one in Italy, so we have concerns there. And in public health, we're sending people into development countries all of the time to do research there. And so what happens if there is a pandemic with all of our people over there? Other concerns were for family and self. So it came down to personal kind of things. How do I protect my family? How am I going to protect myself? Concerns about coming to work, especially in the medical kind of world, and getting infected and taking that back home, and the lack of good information. Another concern was the overwhelming of our health system. How do you prepare the medical community? We're 90% full in our hospitals today, so what is going to happen with, do we have any surge capacity at all? What kind of services and supplies do we need to have? So there was great concern about that. And then would we have sufficient healthcare workers and doctors to take care of the community? Looked at what are Hopkins' responsibilities. And it came out that Hopkins' responsibilities were really to have a good plan, to educate our staff, our students, and our faculty, and our patients on this, and to be prepared, be sure that people were prepared themselves, and also to be sure that we had enough supply so that people in the medical kind of world could really be protected. Yet there was really understanding that the individual also had responsibility, that the individual was responsible for caring for their own family health, to being aware of the protocols and information, and then to follow the policies and directions that they were given. So what were some of the information that people wanted to know? Beforehand, they wanted to know how to prevent and how to get prepared and what kind of plans were there. And they wanted to know how was Hopkins going to present information during an attack, so during the pandemic. During the pandemic, they really wanted to know, am I infected? How will I know whether I really have this pandemic influenza? And they wanted daily updates, which we found interesting, that they wanted to have this information constant flow during this period of time. So this may be weeks that it's going to go on, and so they want daily information. They wanted to know protective measures for their staff, know what to do. And then the very last point here was they wanted to know how to help and how to volunteer. And so that's really good. There's been some studies about would people really, during such an event, really want to go and help and volunteer. And so that's an interesting question. But the feeling was now that, yes, people wanted to go and help to do that. They wanted information from a trusted source. And they felt like the trusted source would be a medical person. So they want that trusted person to have a medical degree. They want to know who that trusted source is going to be and what comes there. And the initial message must come from the president. So that was an interesting kind of aspect too. They also want the messages reinforced by their local supervisors. So if they get all of these good information, they still want information from their local supervisors. So the question was, that came up, how are we going to get the supervisors really knowledgeable about that so that they would be in a position to help their staff? So from all of that research, we started analyzing what would we really need in a communication project. So we needed to be able to convince the institution that there was a likelihood that there would be a pandemic, that we needed to provide the information which would motivate them to be prepared. Now, we hope that that's the kind of thing that will happen, that this information will motivate them to be prepared. And we felt like the tonality of whatever we needed to do needed to carry out the theme that we would be working together, that it was collegial and it was cooperative, that it needed to be serious but not threatening. And then the thing that influenced us probably the most was that we found in every one of the focus groups this great feeling of a tradition of people being proud of Hopkins and thinking that Hopkins was doing excellent kind of thing. So we actually built on that, as you'll see in a minute. We think that it is really important that we are prepared. So if you get information and are prepared, that you would have a greater likelihood of being okay and a better able to effectively respond personally and professionally. It is interesting because, as we hope that everybody would be prepared, there is a great concern about, will healthcare workers really feel like they're prepared, and will they still feel like coming in and helping with a variety of reasons in that? And we think that there is probably more research that could be done on that particular aspect. So the actions that we've taken are to develop a communication plan. We came up with the phrase, "Together we can make it through." And you can see our little guy running through the doorway, making it through from the pandemic into being safe. And so we created a website. We've reworked the materials that the education and communication team had done, a family guide, a video, and the frequently asked questions, so that we can go out and be prepared for that. So, thank you.